Welcome back to Right Quick,
a bite-sized pop culture conversation with your favorite queer, unfriendly Black hotties.
Today we're unfriendly because white Jesus has never, ever gone hard. I'm Nandi K.
And I'm Chris Jordan.
Hey, oh my God. Guys, today we have a special guest, queer, unfriendly Black hottie, my bestie, from another mesty. Wow, that doesn't make any sense, but it rhymes. Chris Jordan.
It was cute to me.
Welcome,
hey,
boo.
Hey.
Do you want to tell the people who you are and what you want them to know about you?
I am Chris Jordan. I use all the pronouns, however you see me, that's how I'm gonna be. I'm a barber, I'm a creative, and that's about all I want you guys to know.
Oh, wow.
Keeping is there other things about me?
No, is there any other things? I think it's just most important that people know that you are one of my best friends, one of my favorite people on this planet. And, you know, you're becoming something of a podcast maven lately.
It seems like it. This is my third one this month.
Whoa, three podcasts in a month.
Went from none.
What are you schooling the people on? What was your other one that I don't know about?
The other one was this journalist that actually comes to the shop. He is taking an extra class, and it's about diversity and inclusion based off of LGBTQ community in film and television.
Okay,
so, film. You know, and that television. Was right up my right up my alley.
I mean, that's all you do all day is, you know, get your letterbox score up.
At this point, yes.
Yeah, I didn't realize you were doing that until the Oscars, and you were like, I gotta watch Marty Supreme, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, I just add stuff. I just added The Princess and the Frog last night. I rewatched it just to
put the here. Disney one?
Yeah, great movie.
Okay, that's actually a really great segue. Did you watch it in preparation for our episode today, Chris?
I did.
Wow. Well, today, yeah, we're talking about spirituality, and I wanted to have this conversation with Chris because whenever I have questions about things I want to do, about what I'm seeing, what I'm feeling, what rituals I want to carry out, I'd be like, okay, what do I need to do? And I send Chris a text and I'd be like, boo, what should I do? The Princess and the Frog is great because it has Keith David as the voodoo man in that.
Mm-hmm.
Which he's absolutely so great. He's so good in that. The Oogie Boogie Man, is that what the name of that song?
That's not his. Yeah, I think that is the song name.
I think that's the name of the
that
song.
That sounded like something you made up, but
wow.
That's correct. That sounds about right. I just knew you made that up, but that's you. That's right.
I've watched him perform that song a few times, and that's the part that sticks in my mind, so he must repeat it. Well, let's talk a little bit about spirituality. What spirituality practices and beliefs do you ascribe to these days, sweet Chris?
These days, I am ascribing to hoodoo. I would love to call myself the conjure boy.
Mm-hmm. You don't?
Still, I think that's why I said still. I think that still fits me.
I agree. Yeah, for sure. How long have you been practicing? Well,
this is the year of our Lord and Savior, 2026. Mm-hmm. So maybe since 2018.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. You about to hit a decade. Yeah. You feel to me very deep in it. We both are like Southern booze. So I think one of my first things when I did start learning more about hoodoo was like, oh, I've been doing hoodoo for my whole life in some ways. But what is like the thing that made you like more intentional in your practice?
So the thing that I noticed that brought me full circle to it was that it's been in my life the whole time, mm-hmm. right in my face. Nobody named it. Nobody did any of the things for it. It was just like, oh, this is what we do. This is our family. But it had a name and nobody named it ever. And I was like, oh, we've been doing this. That's why the Bible's been open in the living room for 27 years on one specific verse.
See, and that's another, and like, this is the thing I always learn every time somebody tells me about like another practice that is hoodoo. I'm like, bitch, I ain't even know that was hoodoo because I can't name a black household. Maybe these days, because, you know, the children, they don't keep their Bibles. You know, I keep a Bible on me because that's the book I grew up with and it's the book I know the best. I definitely don't have it laid out, but growing up, everybody had that. Everybody had a Bible laid out. My grandma, her friends, everybody from the church. Yep. Everybody had a Bible laid out. Did you grew up in church too, right?
Absolutely. Deep, deep, deep in it.
Yeah. What denomination did you grow up? Did you grow up Baptist, Cogent?
I grew up Cogent.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, the hoodoo is deep, deep within the Gojic church. What do you think is like, what was like growing up in church like, and how is that different from what your practice is now?
I was out of church. I had stopped going. I was like, don't say Jesus to me. Don't mention the church house to me. I wanted no parts of anything, and it just started slowly creeping up on me, like little stuff. And then it was solely deep into, it wasn't even hoodoo for real. It was more so me getting into tarot and all of those things, and it gradually moved into hoodoo and me understanding how to connect, that the Bible connects with hoodoo. And I was like, oh dang, I'm right back to where I started from. Like I'm right back in this, but they all just started connecting in one big puzzle piece. And now I got a Bible again.
Yeah. It's interesting. Cause a lot of hoodoo practitioners use different books. Like everybody doesn't use a Bible if that's not the book that they're like most familiar with. Like, because a lot of black African people who came here enslaved were also Muslim, and most people don't realize that. Like, it was either Islam, because that slave trade had already been going on long before the transatlantic, or their indigenous religions of a myriad of African traditional religions. African traditional religions refers to the diverse indigenous spiritual beliefs and practices native to Africa passed down orally through generations. These religions are generally monotheistic, focusing on a distant supreme creator alongside the veneration of ancestors and spirits, placing high value on community, nature, and the harmony between the living world and the spiritual world. I, as I've mentioned before, I was in a little cult for a while, a white evangelical cult when I moved to New York City, because I also hadn't gone to church in a really long time. But I also felt like a divine push to move to New York. And then when I moved there, someone that I knew from Jacksonville was like, oh, why don't you come to this church? And I was like, oh, it's a sign. This is what happens when you grow up. You'd be like, it's a sign. So it I ended up going to Hillsong for a few years. Turns out that was a little bit of a cult. That was my first time ever dealing with like white people. I also had never gone to a mega church before, so there was like a bunch of firsts, because it was like a multicultural church. But
I fear they would have gotten me. I've heard some of their songs,
bruh, and you know that's how they got me. The songs went so hard, and we used to have church at like literal music venue. So like,
this is what I'm saying.
They it was live me. Being at a, that's literally how they got me, because the music was fire. Like, if the music is fire, that's why I don't go to church now, because the music is not good. I tried to go to Easter last year, Easter service. Song selection. Wow. Oh,
you're telling me about this. Yes, yes.
They Yo, only did one good song. This.
I don't, so I don't know. I'm real picky on my choirs. I hate an elderly choir. I'm so sorry. I cannot stand an elderly choir because it just don't hit the same
I don't want to hear the senior choir neither.
Listen, bring me the youthful choir. They just went out Saturday night and now they're back in church.
But not the children.
Not the children. I need these 20 to 45s in here singing their hearts out, because they're picking good songs.
Yeah.
They really got the flow in them. I don't need to hear Bertha.
Yeah, Sean used to take me to a great church. Yeah, Sean used to take me to Abyssinia in Harlem in New York. And baby.
Ooh.
Because they had the really good choir that was like the main choir. And then they had the choir that was like the everybody choir. But the everybody choir would do the hits. And the person who led the everybody choir, his name was LaFrederick. Baby, LaFrederick was doing Hold Up the Light. He was doing stuff I literally had not heard since I was a child. And that was also lit. But there's definitely a difference between Black Jesus and White Jesus.
Absolutely. And his music is different. He got completely different music. I don't like White Jesus music for real.
Yeah, that was the one thing. Like, I do like some of the Hillsong stuff, but most of the stuff I like is like the older stuff, like when they still really like possibly like needed stuff from God. I was really thrown by the fact that white people don't really seem to need shit. They used to be like, "We worship you for who you are, God.
That's what
you don't have to do a
music.
Single thing for us, God, and we would still love you." I'm gonna be real. I don't know if you never did nothing for me, if I would love you. Not a single thing.
I know one thing. I hate when you put that voice on. You've done that several times. It scares
so
me.
So good. It scares me. So good. You gotta like curl your lip over. You gotta have like less lip to have that. And they used to like, they punch. They like
you
to punch.
You just made me realize.
Air. Yeah.
White churches and their music, they're missing the yearning. They're missing the yearning
no
for
yearning.
Jesus and God. There's no yearning.
And I'll even say Black churches take the yearning a little bit too far in some places, but I would rather have yearning than not. Like, yeah, change Jesus to baby and make me question what this song is really about.
My favorite version of that is Love by Music Soul Child. Like, give it to God when they were changing it. Yes, listen.
I hated that.
Listen, I was like,
you Christians must be stopped.
I was in the front row, hands up.
So many Pete, bye. I know Music Soul Child never saw that shit coming. I know he was like, I know y'all fucking lying.
What a time to be alive.
Oh, man. That's in Trinity 5-7 days.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot about them. I wanted to be in their group so bad. I wanted to wear my skirt with them. I had long skirts. I didn't even know I had
Trinity
legs above
5-7
my ankles.
Made me feel like I was listening to, like, gospel TLC. Like,
absolutely.
I was like, yeah, I was doing the Bankhead Bounce. I was like, yeah. Nothing but my savior, gospel behavior. You know how that's how gospel rappers rap.
And then we got Mary Mary, and it was like, yes.
Whoa, Mary Mary changed the game. Whoa. Now, that's probably why we not Christian no more. Because Mary Mary got the Shackles video on regular TV, and Shackles was on regular radio. It wasn't Christian enough. And that's why we said, you know what? If Mary Mary can tip out, so can we. Okay, so you said that you first started getting into other things, which I'm guessing one of those things are astrology.
Bingo.
Okay, let's do big threes first. Oh, and all your right. Venus.
So my big three is Libra, Capricorn, and my Venus is Scorpio.
Okay, my big three is Sagittarius, Taurus, Aquarius, and my Venus is also in Scorpio. This is why we love each other, though.
This is why we're deep in it.
Okay, what do these, what does your big three mean for you? Because when I hear you say like Libra, Libra, it's like kind of like here when I hear like Dylon, 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 and Dylon. Like I, it's kind of like I hear the same thing. So what does it mean to you?
You act like this and I just don't know what to do with it sometimes. Like, why do you act this way? It doesn't matter what I say it means to me because you're going to have something to say about it.
No, I'm going to say what mine means to me and you're more than welcome to give your opinions as well.
So Libra is all about balance. I think the misconception that people get is that we're balanced and all this. No, we're actually looking for balance. That's the whole point of being a Libra. We're looking for balance. So that's my whole sun. That's my identity, trying to find balance and being beautiful because that's what we are. And when it hits my moon, it's a little different. I think it operates as a water sign once it's in the moon position because I'm just emotional. It's very deep. Processing my feelings is just based off a connection and aesthetic. And it's a lot. It's a lot. But thank God for that Capricorn.
That's your rising? No.
That's my rising. Yeah.
Okay. That actually does make sense that your rising is Capricorn. Yeah. Okay. So for me, I'm a Sagittarius, aka a demon. So yes, that's what that means. I'm a Taurus rising. So I like to be chilling. I like, don't ever invite me to an activity that does not include food. And I like my things, which usually is books right now. Books are like my main thing. I'm an Aquarius moon. What does that mean? I like to march to the beat of my own drum. I don't care what nobody else is doing. I only care about what I am doing. And I like to question why people keep doing the same things the same way and why they never like thought about, I don't know, maybe updating it for like current times. And then my Venus is in Scorpio, which means, baby, give me your soul.
Oh, I didn't mention that. Yes, my Venus being in Scorpio is I want all of you.
Yeah.
I want you to slit your wrists and pour the blood into a vial and give it to me as a necklace.
Oh my God, this is just like that book I'm reading. I low-key want that now. Did I tell you about this book where they stole the blood out of Jesus's body and then they gave it to themselves in a ritual and now they're immortal?
Yes. Was it you or was it one of my clients? What's the book?
No, it was definitely me. It's called My Soul to Keep.
Yep, it was you. Did you want a movie? I think you wanted a movie.
Yeah, I want a movie. Yes. And I talked to the author about this. Yes.
Yes.
I was like, please, please put Blair Underwood on the screen for this movie. I need it. Yeah, I agree. How do you think? All right, well, actually, you know way more about this than me. So, like, how do our charts, like, match up in terms of like big three? I get along well with air signs as a fire sign. I feel like that's good and bad.
I love a fire sign. Mm-hmm. Especially me being a Libra, fire signs set me up perfectly. Like
exactly.
It's
fun.
I am a flame, just a little ball rolling around with them. Our big threes match well because you're pretty Venus ruled. And my chart is, you know, my sun and my moon is also Venus rule. So we connect on those levels. I love beauty. I love, you know, all of that aesthetic stuff. And you also do not, you don't want to be anywhere that doesn't look good and doesn't have food. So we match very well. We also are very, what is Neo's song? Lazy love. That's us. Like we want to just lay in love and beauty. And that's
how we connect. Hard? Yeah. Why should we have to work hard? Why can't we just be cute?
I think.
And like be good people too. At the same time, okay, you don't care about that. Okay. Other spiritual practices and beliefs. So how do you think growing up in the South affected how you approach like other like spiritual practices, because I also recently got into tarot, but it's very recent for me, only like a year that, not that I got into it, but that I actually been doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Somebody had to bring a stern message from the other side being like, bitch, if you don't pick them cards up, I said,
exactly, which is funny because you always gift me cards for my birthday,
and so. I have a bitch's brew of cards. Like, I have so many cards,
and it's funny, every deck that you've given me has been so personally connected to me. They work like, just, they love me, and it's like, oh, it's because my best friend loves me, that's why.
I do, that's true. Okay. Yeah, but
growing up in the South and being into astrology and tarot and then coming from Kojic, it was rough. Mm-hmm. Very rough transition, because all I kept hearing was, that's evil, that's not of God. So I'm practicing tarot. This is where I started with first. I'm practicing tarot, pulling my cards, you know, getting used to it. And something bad would happen in my life, and instantly, because I grew up in this Kojic environment, first thought was, oh, it's because I'm playing with the devil. If I wasn't playing with the devil's tools, this wouldn't be happening. So it was a process for me to be able to keep going and separate and decentralize Kojic, because it was eating up everything that I was doing. It was taken away from me even really getting into tarot, me getting into astrology, and damn sure me doing hoodoo. I was like, oh girl, you're not supposed to be playing with this at all. Like, this is not godly. But then I thought about, you know, the blood of Jesus is being drank on first Sundays, but okay.
Come on, eating.
Who is me?
ID. Listen, me? I'm trying to get a shot of that blood. Hallelujah. It soothes all my doubts and it calms all my fears. Hallelujah. Yes.
See, you know what a preacher's supposed to sound like.
I do. Oh, yeah, I know what a preacher's supposed to sound like. Invite me to your church to lead worship. I could come up with a message on the spot. I never pre-write my messages. I like to just string a lot of song lyrics and Bible verses together to sound profound, because that's all it takes. I see preachers, and I'm like, this is what it takes. I know a lot of gospel songs. I know the gospel cadence.
Yeah.
I know the Bible.
Yep.
Like when they say the devil know the Bible too. Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to do the intro of being a preacher. Like, I want to walk in real serious while everyone's singing. I have a cloth in my hand.
Oh yeah.
And I go sit down. I take my water. I kneel in front of the chair with my head down, like I'm praying, when in reality, I'm probably ceremony. Over there.
They don't
like,
even do that no more.
That's crazy, because that's all I know. I used to see this every
that's
Sunday.
That used to be my favorite. That's also very witchy, by the way. Like, that's so witchy to, like,
it is.
Come in and, like, kneel in front of your throne before you sit on it.
And the glass of water. Because you gotta know how often water. We use water in hoodoo. So I
mean, and also that oil that stays up on the pulpit. Okay, so what was the thing that, like, made you say, yeah, of course, like, Jesus' blood is also, like, feels witchy, but, like, what was the actual, like, awakening that was like, oh, actually, these things are kind of connected, but, like, when did you really get into the history? Because one of the greatest voodoo practitioners ever was like the father of the Kojic church. So right. Like, when did you find that out? How did that like come up?
That came up after slavery. And I know that's a wild place to start, but once I started connecting God, Jesus to slavery and how he let it happen, I was like, you know what? I actually am holding you too high on a totem of standards.
Come on.
Cause you allowed all of these bad things to happen to Black people. So there's no possible way that you aren't racist and that you are living this life that you're trying to, you know, you're leading us in this way that they've been pushing towards us. After that, I kind of let go, and it was, let me start reading books that are based off of this thing that is based off of hoodoo. I went deep into the history. I wanted to find out all of these things about it. Every book I could find, I was reading. and learning the difference between that. Are there are people out there that are writing books that are just, you know, not actually need to be writing books about hoodoo, because your your white ass got a pen and paper talking about hoodoo. But, you know, I went through my stages and I learned all these things, but it really was me going into the history, not just of hoodoo, but also of the church, especially Kojic Church. It was like, oh, all of this is truly connected. Ceremonies, the totems being used, every single thing is connected. It was all the same exact thing. It's just labeled differently and taught to us in a way that where it makes it seem like you're going to be demonized if you do anything that's not taught in here the way we're teaching you.
And the Kojic Church covered up so much of its hoodoo history. Like, there's a big ass shrine to Bishop Charles Mason in wherever his old little church is. There's a whole ass altar of this man. But they don't talk about that in the Kojic Church. And I just think about, like, when I think of Kojic now, I just think about I am delivered, because that also happened in a Kojic church. I have that sound, but I just keep doing it myself. I could play the sound, but I just feel like doing it myself. But yeah, it's just to think about going from being like such a vibrant people, and like Black theology itself has its own history. And there's a lot of parts of the Bible Black people wouldn't even read because it's the parts that justify slavery. But now you say your family's Kojic too, generational gifts. You said they've been doing hoodoo. What's y'all generational gifts?
So, talking to my mom and my aunt, my grandmother's sister, I have found out that my great great grandmother, whenever she was low on cash, she would put a specific herb in her hat, put the hat on, and go down to the dog tracks and come home, and the bills were all paid. Everything, like 10 times what she even asked for, it was there. So this seems to be my generational gift is working roots, which is why, you know, I call myself Conjure Boy. I'm not, I can use candles, I can use the water, I can do all of the things, but my gifts really do lie in working with the roots. Like me touching the herbs and all of those things, that's really where my gifts lie.
Yeah,
and it needs to be passed
down. Yeah, I wish that's definitely like Sean's gift is also like getting their hands in the dirt, like herbs. And I had a reading a while ago that there's definitely people like that in my bloodline, but for me particularly, that's not my call. What I think our generational gift is discernment.
That's good. Okay.
At least my generation, my mama and her mama, for sure, major discerners. It drove my mama a little crazy. She can't really handle it. And like, honestly, now that I get older, I understand that a little bit more, because I'm way more careful with my energy, because I saw how my mom was and I wanted to be the opposite of that. But then I was like, wait. Maybe she was right. Gotcha. I was like, maybe she was a little bit right. And then I'm also really into crafting. So like, I've been sewing now. I've always like putting stuff together. So I think eventually like woodwork will be like my next thing. But
I'll teach you that, Nadia. You know I can woodwork, right?
I do. Yes, I do know that. I forgot you made a ton of furniture. Ooh, yeah, you can come live on my farm. And then we can build little tiny houses on the farm.
Well, I'm not coming if we're building tiny houses. I hate tiny houses. Continue on.
Okay, wow. It's not very communally minded of you, but
I'm community really mansions.
But I do... Well, many mansions, though. Like, many. You don't need a mansion for just you. This is why the planet is burning up. This is literally why the planet is burning up. But yeah, that. And so now also on my daddy's side, my grandma and my auntie are both seamstresses. Oh. So I've been wanting to sew for my whole life. It was only a matter of time before I started sewing. But I literally made something wearable the first time I ever made something. And of course, music is also like a very much ancestral like gift that we have received through my family on both sides, which is so great, but not big hoodoo religious people outside of like normal stuff, like, you know, New Year's Eve shit and like the cleaning and like, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that I didn't realize, like when you wash your walls and all that kind of stuff, but mostly it was like the cleanest stuff. And my mama is definitely a plant hoe. She a Pisces, so you know Pisces.
That checks out,
Pisces, baby, they, baby, everything they touch grow. She kept a rubber plant I had alive for like 30 years, like just insane stuff. Well, we're rounding the corner, and I want to make sure we talk about some media representation of spirituality, which we always like to wrap up with. Chris, you said you wanted to talk about Beyonce's Lemonade. Please.
I do.
Enlighten the people. Tell us.
First of all, sounds disgusting, you talking to me. Like, you just feel like you're, like, yeah, let me do my thing. Okay. Lemonade was amazing. It was covered in ATR. Like, that was the whole album, all the videos. I feel like she did a great job of every element. You got some Oshun in there. What was was that? What song was that? Hold Up. Excuse me.
No, I remember. Of course I saw it. I saw it the same day it came out. I participate in all cultural phenomena.
The women having their faces painted on the buses. Like, it was just all a lot of spiritual stuff. And I honestly believe it came from Solange more than Beyonce. I feel
I feel like Solange
brought Beyonce in, and now it's a family
affair. She's a Cancer, right?
Is she a Cancer? Yeah, oh, I missed that. I swore she was a Pisces. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say Pisces, but I know her birthday's in the summer. So she has to be a Cancer. Yeah.
Okay. And I think we got the same energy in that the Black album she has, Black is King. Yeah, Black Parade. All of that was very, it references all of the stuff. Yimmya, all of those things. Oshun, they're all named.
There's
a lot of artists that do it, though.
I do agree that from that perspective, I did really like the imagery. I just didn't like the songs that much, but I really did like the imagery. I watched the whole movie when it came out.
Okay.
When it came out, I was in LA, so like it was a big like thing.
Okay, that makes sense.
I'm just gonna name Sinners. We talked about this when it came out, and now that I've seen it a couple times, you know, you were like saying that there wasn't enough like Conjure, and I'm like, as many white people as was seeing that movie, blessed be. You're glad they didn't really show nothing.
You're right.
I'm so glad they didn't really show nothing, because like, I don't want, like, they had mojo bags at Spirit Halloween on like a smoke and or stat costume, right? So like, I don't want the people knowing nothing about mojo bags. I don't want them trying to put nothing together. Yeah,
piss me off.
Just saying, that was real. Yes. Unless it was AI, but I'm pretty sure I saw it a few different ways, and there was like smoke and sack costumes, and there was like a mojo bag as part of it.
Oh, that's disgusting. Yeah. In that context, you're right. I feel like if the movie was specifically for us and things, segregation was back, that would have been great. That would have been great to have more details in there, you know, just to expound on it a bit. But because we're intermingling in the world, I accept it.
And then for books, I'm always going to highlight a Zora Neale Hurston reference when it comes to hoodoo. When it comes to really any like Black diasporic religions in the U.S., like, she is the person who documented them all. She went through countless initiations, so many. So I'm recommending of Mules and Men. Is that it? No, that's Tell exactly My Horse. Or Tell My Horse, or both of them.
Mules and Men is the one I go for.
Of Mules and Men. Yeah, that's what I wrote on here. Zora is that girl. She's the one. She has been through, I mean, she is so studied. And at a time where it was so much more prevalent, because we're talking about like within like 100 years still, 50 yep. years of the honestly of enslavement. So like really incredible stuff. And then a book I just finished, which did you finish this? The Conjuring of America by Lindsay Stewart?
I haven't.
Well, highly recommend. It tells the story of how many of the remedies and things we know today come from our enslaved ancestors, and they brought them over from Africa, from like red drinks to like Kool-Aid and like having black gums, all kinds of like Vicks Vapor Rub. Truly a beautiful, incredible book that just talks about the conjure.
All right.
Today's episode is sponsored by Former Church Kids Against White Jesus. Jesus was a brown man murdered by the state. He was a brown Palestinian, and y'all still killing Palestinians. So, yeah, we don't fuck with white Jesus. He's racist. A big thanks to our producer and audio Adonis, Aaron Rand Freeman. Chris, who are you and where would you like to be found?
I am Chris Jordan, and you can find me on Instagram. My Instagram tag is hi, Chris Jordan.
Hey, and I'm Nandi K. You can find me on Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky at Nandi KAYYY. See y'all.
Later.
Right Quick is a podcast for The Agenda Productions, created by Nandi K and co-hosted by Vance Go. Aaron Rand Freeman is our mouthy producer. Theme music by Luke Santi. Art by Sonia Honeycutt. If you like what you heard, subscribe, rate, review, and follow us on Patreon at The Agenda Productions.